Okay, I'd like to start by reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a season we think a lot about light. The solstice has just passed and the lighter days are coming, albeit slowly. And we've just been celebrating the coming of the light of the world to earth. So as we approach the new year, I want to look today at what it means to walk in the light. In the passage, we read that God is light, that Jesus is in the light, and that we need to walk in the light. In other words, we need to walk closely with Jesus to be where he is. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what does that mean? How then shall we live in the light of God? In everyday usage, light always represents goodness, truth, and understanding, whereas darkness represents evil, falsehood, and ignorance. Jesus is good. Jesus is the truth. Jesus brings light to the world. And light reveals what is around us. It makes things clear. It shows us what is true and real, and also what is false and illusory. And most evil relies on deception or stealth. And it's harder to deceive or to be deceived if we can see clearly what's going on. It's harder to be ambushed during the day than at night. And for that reason, people who intend evil or deception would rather stay out of the light. They would rather walk in darkness. For instance, John 3, 19 to 21 says this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are being carried out in God." If our intentions and desire are to do right, then we're free to be open and transparent. We've got no need to hide. You know, why should we? Why do we have to? In Ephesians 5, 8 to 13, we have this. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So as children of God, and those who hunger after righteousness, we needn't fear what the light or the truth will reveal. On the contrary, we can welcome it. If we're doing what pleases God, then the light will confirm that. It will encourage us. If we're off track, then the light will show us, you know, what corrections need to be made, which will help us go in the direction we want to go in. It's a win-win situation, because either way, we'll become more like Jesus, whose disciples we are. And that's surely what we all want. David welcomed the light of God when he said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's not always a comfortable prayer to pray, but we do know that it's safe and it is good, because we can be sure that God will not condemn us, but will rather want to draw us to himself in his love. As it says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. When St. Peter first saw the light of God in Jesus, it wasn't comfortable for him. And his response was, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." A prayer which, fortunately, Jesus didn't answer. And it was also uncomfortable for Peter after the resurrection, when he was confronted with the fact that he'd denied Jesus three times and was pointedly asked three times if he loved him. But in both cases, the outcome was love and reconciliation, and in fact, a calling and a commission. There's no indication of any sort of rebuke there. As the psalm says, a contrite heart God will not despise. And if we allow the light of God to shine on us, which, as we've seen, we can do quite safely, we will be the better for it in all senses. But it is important to note that it's God who's doing the searching, not us. It's generally very unwise to poke around for things that we need to repent of, because we just don't have the perspective to do that. And it's all too easy to find things we can feel guilty for, often unnecessarily. But opening ourselves to God's light, just being open to him rather than looking around ourselves, can just as much free us from false guilt and self-condemnation as it is to give correction. And either way, it's liberating. Either way, we'll be more free for it. The scripture says the truth will set us free. Whether or not that truth is uncomfortable, it's far better to face up to an uncomfortable truth than a pleasant lie. It's things like illusion, avoidance, or denial which will keep us tangled up, will stop us being free, will stop us from moving on. Seeking God's light for our lives is something which we can do with the help of others, particularly people with a prophetic gift, who can perhaps provide a view which we don't have ourselves, simply because we're too close to the situation. Several decades ago, before I moved to Long Ashton, I was on a week away with the church I was part of at the time, and I'd been concerned that I was a bit off track, I wasn't hearing God very well. And I said that to the people who were leading the week, people who were part of Good News Crusade, who some of you may remember from the past. But they took that away and prayed about it. And their conclusion was that, you know, I was worrying unnecessarily and that I was indeed on track. And it can be hard to take something like that on board. But from people who were men of God and who had no axe to grind and who didn't know me apart from during that week, then I could receive that, and it was very encouraging. Back at the weekend away in 2013, 10 years ago now, Steve Newell introduced the idea of Inspire groups, or Inspire bands, I think they called them, which were intended to facilitate just this sort of mutual help on the journey. Unfortunately, those fizzled out, but the idea is still a valuable one, and it remains something we could benefit from, and perhaps something we could revisit. At the 2019 weekend away, Claire Thompson and Laura Harris encouraged us to share our spiritual journeys with each other, to pray for each other. And interestingly, they observed at that time that that wasn't part of the culture here at Hebron. But during that weekend, we did quite a lot of that. However, when we came back here, for whatever reason, that also quickly fizzled out. And at the weekend away this year, Joy Nercombe encouraged us to communicate and commune with each other and to live out the union which God has already established amongst his people. As a church, we've been receiving a consistent message through different outside speakers over the years. I guess how we apply it is up to us. Walking in the light involves living in honesty, openness, truth and integrity, whether that's with ourselves, with God or with the wider world. We live in a culture which talks about fake news, alternative facts, and even of our being in a post-truth society, where not only is truth hard to come by, but where it's not even expected, or perhaps not even seen to be possible. It's a very disturbing thought and a dark situation, but it is one where Christians can bring much light by living differently, with different ethos, different values. For us as Christians, truth is fundamental, not least because it's part of God's essence. In Isaiah 45 verse 19, we read this: I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I didn't say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus says this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, in John 15, 26, Jesus says this: But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Truth is at the very core of all the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's absolutely fundamental to our faith and to the light that we want to walk in. It's 2,000 years since Pontius Pilate asked his enigmatic question, what is truth? And surprisingly or otherwise, people are still asking that. So people often talk about your truth or my truth. It sort of implies that truth is somehow subjective. We can choose it for ourselves. You know, never mind anything absolute. I mean, sometimes what they actually mean is your beliefs or your perceptions, you know, which is fair enough. But not always. There are many who would deny the existence of absolute truth and give more weight to personal experience. Now, this is just one of the many things you'll see on social media which express that quite disturbingly widely held view. Everyone's truth is their own truth. Everyone's belief is their own belief. None are wrong. None are right. They just are. To deny someone their truth is to deny yourself of yours. So I wonder what you think about that. That is quite a common view, particularly in the Western world, in these days. And perhaps it's not surprising in view of that since about 2016, people have started to talk about a post-truth era. But as believers in the God who is absolute truth, we have a more positive story to tell, and we can sort of show the errors in that kind of thinking. Truth and walking in the light is vital to the health of any community. As St. John says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And conversely, a lack of truth leads to a lack of trust and is poison to any community or relationship. And truth is not just refraining from telling direct lies. Truth is also avoiding half-truths or putting a spin on the facts in order to give a false impression. It's avoiding exaggeration or being unrealistically positive or trying to cover up disappointment. Although more subtle, these things are just as much of the darkness and are just as corrosive to trust and to the cohesion of a community. The enemy is called the father of lies, and there's little he likes more than to spread misinformation and to undermine trust within the community and towards it from outside. In contrast to that, we're called to hold tightly to the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil is a common expression, and it's good advice. And the devil doesn't like the truth being told. In Zechariah 8, verse 16, we've got this. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true, and make for peace. And Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly, does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. It does have to be said that there are sometimes extreme situations when speaking the truth would be very harmful, and deception is appropriate. And the classic case would be of the guy who was harbouring Jews during the Nazi persecution. And if the SS came round asking if there were any Jews in the house, most people would agree that telling a lie was the ethical, the right thing to do. And there are situations less extreme than that, where there are ethical dilemmas as to whether the right thing is to deceive or to be truthful. And different people might perhaps come to different conclusions as to what the right course of action is. But these aren't really the situations I'm referring to. There are many cases in where there is really no such dilemma, and that the reasons why we might wish to deceive don't bear scrutiny under God's light, and we probably know what those are. We're also encouraged to be open with each other, to resolve misunderstandings, to avoid elephants in the room, which are things which the enemy can also exploit to cause division. In Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, we read this. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. In Matthew 18, 15, we read this famous words. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And the flip side of that, Matthew 5, 23, 24, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's how important being right with each other is. In Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 27, it says this. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Interestingly, reading that, it could almost be paraphrased as communicate with each other because of our union which we have in Christ. Let each of us speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members of each other. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Walking in the light, as well as being good in itself, is a powerful weapon against the evil one. As we've seen, light will overcome darkness wherever it is. And whenever we walk in the light, we're pushing back the darkness. So there's a lot to you know, walking in the light, and what I've said this morning is just three aspects of it. There are obviously a lot more. How to be light in the world, how to live in the culture we're surrounded by. But just to summarise the three. The first is to allow God's light to search us, to know us. Just to sit in God's presence and ask him to point out to us, are we on track, are we not on track, what needs correcting, and maybe to do that with the help of others too, to get someone to pray with you, and you know, you can do the same to them in a mutual sort of a way. The second one is live in honesty and openness and truth in a post-truth culture. Expose the darkness that's around us by living in the light. Just the contrast would do that without anything actually being said necessarily. And the third one, be open with each other. Resolve misunderstandings as soon as they become apparent, and give no room for the enemy to gain a foothold. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you are light. The God we worship is light and truth. And Lord, our desire is to follow you and to be like you. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light, to be the light, to expose darkness where it exists, and to be the example of your kingdom that you want us to be. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.